We thank you that your word is life-changing, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, pierces even a dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. We thank you for the entrance of your word that will bring light and understanding in simplistic and simple terms and forms. We thank you, Father God, for the word of God and the spirit of God, causing us to our eyes to see and our ears to hear and our heart to receive all the things and truths that you want us to see today. We thank you for grace deposits and truth impartations by the word of God and the spirit of God. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will destroy and break every yoke of bondage. We thank you for people being saved, delivered, healed, and blessed today and encouraged in their hearts and lives forevermore. In Jesus' name, all to the glory of God. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In seeking the Lord about this month and season, he kept bringing me back to humility. So that's what we're going to talk about. And today's subject is lessons in humility. Or you can subtitle it, Even the Dogs Eat the Crumbs. Lessons in humility. Even the dogs eat the crumbs. Praise God. I'm going to start with Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 through 28. It's a story, an account about a Gentile who shows her faith. And, of course, then Jesus went out from there, departed from the region of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan, came from the region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." And he answered her not a word. And isn't it interesting, you know, many people say that that's directly opposed to ministerial etiquette. But Jesus didn't follow and go to school to learn etiquette. He was a ministerial excellence and an example as our Lord. And some scholars believe that this woman was actually coming with a religious facade, saying the right words, but not in the right place in her heart. Because sometimes we can learn Christian ease in church. We can learn to say hallelujah or in the name of Jesus or yell glory to God in church, but our heart could be in a different place. Praise God. And so, again, this is just from my studies. And then she answered, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, because he's not answering there. He's ignoring her. The disciples got irritated because she's still saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." She's using the right titles because he is Lord. And mercy is a covenant term. Son of David is a covenant title. And the disciples saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." In other words, the 12 guys were irritated. This is a stranger. This is a woman of Canaan. She's not even in the covenant. So those guys are saying, "Boss, you got to get her out of here. She's been annoying us." And so at the beckoning of his disciples, he says in verse 24, but he answered and said, "I was not sent except for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread," means covenant children's bread, "and throw it out to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Wait a minute. He's ignoring her at first, and he says, great is her faith. After a few things changed, let it be to you according as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So this interaction between Jesus and this Canaanite woman, we don't even get her name, might offend modern day sensibilities. Some progressives, like it quoted by Brandon Robinson, who has accused Jesus of racism, referring to her as a dog. Now, most people don't think that is a good, endearing term. Jesus' statement says, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs, is a metaphor and highlights the prevailing sentiment of the time. Children represents the Jews back then in that culture, while the dogs are the Gentiles outside of God. They didn't have a covenant with God. And so the Jews considered the Gentiles to be unclean and called them kunan, or wild cur, primarily for religious rather than ethical reasons. In the text, the woman was not offended by Jesus' words. Instead, she acknowledged the way she is viewed by the Jews, and it's likely that she was familiar with the statement and concept of the Messiah as the deliverer of the Jews. We should also note that Jesus also called her a pet dog, which subtly deviates from the Jewish sentiment. Her response demonstrates both humility, everybody say humility, and faith. Somebody say praise the Lord. And so she asserts that the dogs, Gentiles, need whatever Jesus has to offer. Even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. Gentiles can also benefit from Jesus' mission, also according, although his priority at that point was the Jews. That was his assignment. He said, I'm not sent to go outside of Jewish culture or Israeli boundaries. That's my ministry to them first. But she didn't get bothered or offended by that. She changed her approach. And today we want to present to you as a consideration, have you changed your approach in receiving the things you need from Jesus in this day, at this time? Let's learn some lessons in humility. Can I have an amen? Amen. Jesus spoke of this woman's faith. However, the underlying question, what caused her faith to be effective, was humility. Everybody say humility. Now, maybe perhaps at this juncture in your life, March the 8th, 2026, you found that the past several weeks or even months or even this year have been difficult for your faith to make a connection, or difficult for your faith to receive from God. Because faith is good at receiving from God. You need faith, but there's a connecting point to faith that you need to employ if your faith not working. Do I need to change my approach? Because some people go to prayer and go to demanding and tell, and they're always speaking demanding to the devil, which is good, but are they speaking and confessing faith with humility to God? So this faith, although faith certainly is not of great importance, the first thing that faith must do is to hear from God. Amen. Some people say, well, I'm believing for this. I'm confessing this. And then my response would be to you as a pastor, based on what? Because many people want deliverance, but they haven't heard. the Word of God that's become revelation into their spirit, or they haven't heard a word from God, a rhema, spoken to their spirit through the Spirit of God. So my question as a pastor is a question of love, but it's also a recognition. Are you in the right position to receive what you're saying? Amen. Because the first thing that faith needs to do is hear. Hear from God. Romans 10:17 says what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? We always say a word from God. In the Greek, that's the word Christos. That means the anointed word, or means God's leading to you to scriptures that he highlights to you. So that's your faith foundation. I'm believing God by the end of this month, this sickness will be under my feet and gone and disappear. All right, based on what? Where's your scriptures that you're standing on? Or what's the rhema word that you received from the Lord? Amen. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not what? Seen. So faith and humility, I want to reintroduce you, work together. Because Jesus said what? Woman, great is your faith. Well, how is your faith this month of March? All right, I'm going to ask my grandson to help me. If he gets his shoes on and gets situated. Now, let's walk through this response. So he's going to. Give Donnie a hand clap. All right. You're gonna do what? Just stand right here. Okay. Let's say. All right. This is a line that Jesus is presenting in front of her. Okay. So let's just illustrate this here. Okay. Let me get somebody else. Who wants to volunteer and hold the line? All right. Come on, Tracy. Somebody say hallelujah. That way I can navigate both of them. All right, Tracy, just stand right here where I am, and you're going to hold the line out like this, right where the podium is. Everybody say, give him a hand. All right. Okay, Jesus is over here, and this woman's approaching, and she's saying, Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me. So say that with me. Say, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. So he's ignoring. Till the disciples come to him, and they say what? Send her away. Isn't that very bad? The religious people want to always send you away. You're bothering me. You're ignoring me. What was first Jesus' first response? It's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. So she's still in this position. But then her response was, so this, but when he says it's not right to give the children's bread and give it to the dogs, he's basically saying what some people would get really upset about. We don't serve your kind around here. Most people would have got offended right then. You're supposed to be the son of David. You're supposed to be the master and Lord and ruler of the universe, the Messiah. And you telling me this is not for you. We don't serve your kind around here. Because she was a woman of Canaan. She was a Gentile. What was her response? Did she get offended? I think Jesus was testing her faith to see if she would get humble. She came to her religious, saying all the right words, just like many of us do today, saying all the right words, using all the right phrases, Lord, 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 and being almost dignified and almost with that inkling, I deserve for you to get this taken care of in my life. Almost demanding God. He said, you got to receive like that. You got too much pride. Because the opposite of humility is what? Proud. He knows the devil's in her daughter. He knows she probably opened the door to it. Just like sometimes we open the door to the devil in our lives. We'll talk about that in a minute. Everybody good? So his response, her response to Jesus' words, she, the woman, knelt down before him and said, Lord, help me. So Donnie, kneel down and say, you good right there. He's under the first line of humility. And to say, Lord, help me. Say, Lord, help me. Okay. So he recognizes. And so the woman changed her approach. Okay, hang in there, Donnie. And she changed her approach from a religious, pompous, presumptive pride to humility and faith. She didn't quit. She did what? She got low. She's under the line. Now, Tracy, lower the line a little bit. Okay? So Jesus, I believe, was testing. This is the way I saw it yesterday. Saw it when I was studying. She didn't storm off. She didn't blow up. She didn't have a meltdown. She didn't run. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of going through this. I know I'm touching on some stuff. People have their little temper tantrums and pity parties around the house, and they think it's humility or just telling the Lord how I feel, but it could be, I'm suggesting to you, it's probably masquerading presumptive pride. Are y'all here this morning? She knelt down, she got low, she got genuine. Then Jesus replied to her, it's not right for me to take the children's bread, which is healing, is a part of the covenant. It belongs to us in Christ. But in this context, that's the children's bread. Healing is the children's bread. And give it to the dogs. Now she could have got offended. What was her reply? But she said, Lord, it's true, Lord, but even the dogs are allowed to eat scraps that fall beneath their master's table. So say it with me, Donnie. That's true, Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table. Did you hear what the lady said? She said what? Yes, Lord. Now, some people don't say yes when the Lord brings correction. Pride wants to hold on to its position and say, I'm right. They're wrong. Or they might have a position of, you owe me. I've suffered long enough. I deserve. Is anybody helping me this morning? I deserve better than this. That word I, along with deserve, man, you just slipped into pride. And we put that in front of the Lord as a complaint. Now, we've been reading Numbers, right? What happened to all those people that got complained? What happened to them? Burned, plagued, sick, killed in battle, going to the earth, middle of the earth. Are we learning a lesson? We can't receive nothing from God. We resist everything from God when we're in pride. All right, so the last response was, true, Lord, but even the dogs are allowed to eat at the what? Beneath their master's table. She said, and true, Lord, instead of arguing with Jesus, she agrees with him And she lowered herself all the way down to the lowest level, and she did what? She worshiped him. All right, so get down on all fours, Donnie. No, just put it over his head. All right, now she'll come to me. Just crawl to me. Crawl to me. She received. And all the way down to acknowledge the truth and humbled herself in Christ's presence. Will we do that today? Praise God. Let's give them a hand. Praise God to illustrate that. Healing is a grace. Deliverance is a grace. Prosperity is a grace. Family peace is a grace. Business success is a grace. Who gets the grace, though? The humble. Who gets the grace? So as we preface in saying, sometimes you think, well, I'm struggling to receive my healing. Take your faith and look at your approach. Is it religious or is it righteous? Am I saying just a whole bunch of religious phrases just to get God to make me feel better? Or am I going to lower myself and get low, even low like a dog? Everybody's had dogs, and sometimes they come around you and look, when you're eating food, what do they want? Give me some. Give me a piece of that food. I watched this guy on YouTube. He always does the bacon up stuff. He's a Christian guy. He always wears these Christian t-shirts, and he's cooking different kinds of stuff on a grill. And every time at the end, he throws a little bit of scraps or piece of meat or cheese at the dog. Dog just jumps up and gets it. Then he clicks his hand and he points at you. He does a lot of gospel stuff on there. So I like it, but I always see the dog there waiting. I'm waiting. I'm humbly waiting to get my little bit of snack. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Even the dogs eat the crumbs. Somebody say, praise God. So she lowered herself all the way down to what? Dog level. Acknowledging the truth, humble herself in Christ's presence. Now remember, to hear properly, you got to walk up. You got to walk in humility. First, stop and think. Am I hearing clearly? And a lot of times, as we talked about it Wednesday night, we're not thinking clearly because we're not praying in the Holy Spirit enough. He said, be not drunk with wine, but that's connected with live accurately, purposefully, soberly, not thoughtlessly and vaguely and witlessly. We should never walk around with life unclear. What am I supposed to be doing? If I've got a situation or a mountain in my life, what am I supposed to be believing and speaking? It shouldn't be like I've lost my marbles and I don't know what to do. But the whole praying in the Holy Spirit, getting full, helps you get clarity. Inside. My thoughts, my emotions, my will, I know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. Against this challenge. Against this problem. That's how you get your mind and your thoughts right. but then your hearing gets clear when you're humble. Because the scripture tells us we ought not to think more highly than we ought to think. Because there's too high thinking where we think, I don't understand what's going on. That's too high thinking. I don't know what to do. That's too high thinking. Because if you got the helper, the Holy Spirit, come on now. He says, Jesus said he will guide you into what? All truth and show you things to come. And he's not just a resident. He's a permanent resident, but he must be made president. When you make him president, you're full. You're controlled by the Holy Spirit. He controls your thinking. He controls your thought life. He controls your emotions and your will, your choices. Only when you're full is he in charge. You're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, your faith is connected to this humility because your faith needs to get your believing and your thinking and your speaking lined up. Because when you talk wrong, it's because you believe wrong. And it's because you think wrong. I'm tired of this. I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. The Holy Spirit is not inside of us to make us losers and make us lamenting over all of our situations and circumstances that we faced in life. Now, I'm glad they put this in the Bible, because here we look at a woman who's in dire straits. She doesn't even have a covenant with God, but God showed his mercy still by her getting low and getting to dog level and eating crumbs. Jesus didn't even visit her house. He said, woman, go as you have said, as your faith has spoken, as you have gotten low in humility, you've made the connection. He said, great is your faith. Go. The devil has gone out of your daughter. Come on now. Whew. You want to be able to say, go. Jesus said, go. The devil is leaving your house right now. Somebody say, hallelujah. See, if the demon gets into your life, it's likelihood's because of you. In some way, we invited or opened the door to him or them, could be more than one, into your life. There's not a multitude of doors by which demons can enter, just a handful of them. Now, the Lord showed me a couple of weeks ago, some people are letting the door open to demons. You can change to the next slide. To demons through social media. And what does the devil bring? Just like he brought in Genesis, the garden. He brings the same methodology, the same mode of operation. He brings thoughts. He brings ideas. He brings suggestions. What did he come to Eve with? And then eventually Adam. Thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. So social media will bring you thoughts. And what I saw was little demons running through someone's phone or the TV or their computer screen and jump on their shoulder. Now, they're not possessed, but they let the door open and let him come in and now talk to them. Introducing what? Thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. The battle's where? In the mind. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, God, glory to God. And so internet sites, YouTube. Now, if you get in that, what I call death scroll, or that dark scroll, brothers and sisters, that's the enemy stimulating you to open a door. Open a door. Somebody say, praise the Lord. It's through pornography. The demon can get through there. And I like how some studies have shown, Brother Copeland said it like 5 years ago. I never forgot. He said, social media, if you're just in it for the flesh and sensation and looks of it, it's like pornography. And they just did a study. I just read it last week, that the connection between pornography and social media are the same in the brain. Those same erototoxins and neurons get triggered and they become an addictive. And some people, unfortunately, even Christians, have social media addictions. Well, praise the Lord. You got to get low. Drinking and alcoholism and drugs can open a door. Certain books and activities of the occult and perversion nature of things of a perversion, perverted or perversion nature can open the door. Praise God. You know, God, people were studying and fascinating. And in their own TV now, they have things that give accounts of people who are serial killers, or people accounts of people who are child molesters or operate in pedophilia. They said they read those books and then something like this, something jumped on them. You got to be mindful of what your flesh wants to look at and listen to and watch, because it can open the door. Somebody say, praise the Lord. It can open the door. And it gives you thoughts, ideas, and suggestions, just like it did with Eve, and make you think against God and think against his word. Too high. Too high. Hallelujah. Yielding to unforgiveness and offense, taking the offense. There's baits and traps that the enemy lays in our life and in our the areas and arenas where we're challenged and encouraged to operate in love and forgiveness, and we take the bait of offense versus walking in love and forgiveness. We open the door. Amen. We see even great people who follow Jesus. Peter didn't repent until Jesus restored him, because he denied Jesus. And don't think we're better and bigger than Peter. I mean, he's walking with the Lord. But the Bible says he denied him three times within a small space of time. And then he went out and wept bitterly. He did not repent with those tears. He was remorseful because he wept, because he denied the Lord. Judas, we know he did not repent, but he suicided himself, hung himself, and got off, and then he fell into a tree branch, and it gushed all his bowels out, because he threw the 30 pieces of silver back at. He had already sold and betrayed Jesus, kissed him, betrayed him, didn't repent. Sad, right? But some Christians do the same thing when they're offended, when they're operating in unforgiveness. Somebody say, praise the Lord. When you're yielding to fear and anxiety, can open the door. Somebody say, don't open the door. Now let's look at this in the Amplified, and let's cover some more points here. I'm just going to pick it up at verse 23 to 28. It's right up here in the Amplified Classic. It says, but he did not answer her word, and his disciples came and implored him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. And he answered, I am sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she came and kneeling, worshipped him, and kept praying, Lord, help me. And he answered, is it not right, proper, and becoming, or fair? It is not right, proper, or becoming, or fair to take the children's bread and to throw it to little dogs. She said, yes, Lord, even the little pups, little whelps, eat the crumbs that fall from the young master's table. Then Jesus answered and says, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you wish. And her daughter was cured that from that moment. What do you need cured in your life? What do you need corrected or to change in your life? Learn a lesson in humility. Everybody say humility. Not only was her daughter set free, this woman herself was set free. She laid before the Lord as a dog with a clean, innocent, and void of pride. I remember when we had King, he used to lay around, and sometimes he'd be laying right on your foot. Laying right on, and he got so bold, he got right up in the bed sometimes. He'd be laying down at the end of the bed. And when I was thinking about this, I think about him, and I think about, man, the dogs know how to get low. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And innocent and void of pride. She could hear. She was a new person. What was that power? Everybody say humility. It took humility to get low and faith to stay there for each additional round of lowering. What was Naaman the Syrian doing when the prophet says, go dip in Jordan 7 times? Now, first he got mad, right? He got angry. Isn't these other rivers cleaner? Why are you making me do this? It's the test of humility. This march for God to get your faith to become from little to good to great is connected to your humility. Will you pass the test of humility? So he had to go dip. And his servants had to say, boss, if he told you to do something great, you would have done it. But now, just this little adjustment. Go dip in the muddy river, Jordan. So he had to change his attitude and his actions. Do we have to do the same thing to get to the next level, to receive from God on a higher level? Praise God. You know, like Brother Greg was testifying, and that was great testimony, about what happened with him and Elizabeth. But there's more. There's greater. Not just for them, but for all of us. There's a new place. There's a new grace. But who gets the grace? The humble. To go higher, you have to go lower. And we can't become what we call seasoned, senior, and set in our ways. I won't change. I'm going to still demand everything for me, concerning me. I'm never going to change my approach. That means you're not going to get lower. You're thinking too highly of yourself. Hallelujah. So it took humility. It will take us humility to get low and faith to stay there in each additional round of lowering. She was an outsider in the things of God, but faith and humility brought her inside. Now we're children of God. Faith and humility will bring us inside deliverance, the experience and manifestation of deliverance, inside healing and divine health. It'll take us from outside trying to get inside to inside and flowing and growing in health. God's got assignments for us to lay hands on the sick. We can't be the ones always sick. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. Pride keeps you out. Humility brings you in. The place of humility, crumb level, is the place where God's power flows to the fullest and the strongest. For she said the dogs, the low ones, get the crumbs. Next slide, guys. Now we got to put our finger on pride. In the rest of our time, The fear of the Lord is to what? Hate evil. And the Lord says, through Solomon, I hate pride and arrogance. What does God hate? Pride and arrogance, the behavior and perverse speech. So this verse should lay rest to any confusion in the Lord's attitude toward pride. He hates it. If he hated it then, he never changes. He hates it now, March 8th, 2026. He hates it when people are puffed up, when they're into themselves, they're into their flesh, and into their feelings. Self-centered, self-absorbed, selfish. We said it before, I'll say it again. Pride is the strength of sin and selfishness. Pride is the cause of all division and strife. It is the root of all sin, the sin that started it all. Now we see in Isaiah 14, let's look at Isaiah 14. Satan was started it. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of the morning? How are you cut down from the ground, you weaken the nations? For you said in your heart, this is what he said inside his heart, I will ascend to the heaven, into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Verse 15 says, yet you should be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest parts of the deep. I'll stop right there, but pride takes you low and takes you down. The Bible says that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Can somebody say hallelujah? Now look at Obadiah 1:3. I got it there in the New International Version. It says, pride in your heart has deceived you. If it did Satan and Lucifer that way, it will do us that way today. Pride in our heart will deceive you, and you live in the cleft of the rocks and make your homes in the heights, and you who say to yourself, who could bring me down to the ground? You can get pride about your money. You get proud about your family. You can get proud about different things, and it can get you in a bad place. But he's pointing out the pride that motivation behind Lucifer's words before he became Satan. What is God's attitude toward pride and self-honor? Total intolerance. The middle of the situation is an eye problem. Even the rich young ruler said, I will do this. He excluded God. He said, I don't need you. The parable of the wicked rich guy, rich fool, is called the rich fool. He said, I will build myself. I will do this. I will eat, drink, and be merry. Problem, he left God out of it. And God says, okay, this night, you're fool, this night your soul is required of you. Don't get so much money where you think you don't need God anymore. We will never be able to make enough money where God will run out of projects for us to do. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Dishonor is the child and offspring of his mother, self-honor. It's impossible to honor any station in life when you think and act and think in self-honor. What do we say we're supposed to honor? We're supposed to honor the word. I don't care what that says. This is how I feel. As you honor yourself, therefore you dishonor the word. The Holy Spirit. I don't care what the Holy Spirit says or has been leading us to do. This is what I'm going to do. Self-honor, dishonor the Holy Spirit. honor your spouse. You can go down the list. Honor your employers. Honor your mother and father, parents. Children honoring their parents. So forth and so on. Honoring, you know, all the way down. Self-will and self-honor stay loyal to your own will and your own ways. Just like Donnie was demonstrating with Tracy, we don't get low. We stay right there at the above God's ways. My ways are above God's ways. What I want is not what God wants me to do, but I don't care. I want what I want. Self-honor. It stays loyal to your own wills, to your own ways, your own opinions, your own ideas. The works of the flesh is a manifestation of self-honor. Selfishness and pride. So in other words, we let our body and our feelings control us and not the Holy Spirit. We keep him as a resident, but we never make him president. The person who never deals with pride in his or her life has a problem they don't even know about. If you're not dealing with pride and self-honor, you're yielding to pride and self-honor. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Everybody say glory to God. We cannot make spiritual progress or be fully used of God as long as we continue to yield to pride and self-honor. We must recognize it in our life in order to deal with it. Come on, everybody say thank you, Lord. Everybody say help me, Lord. All right, let's take a test. Everybody looking? Look at the screen. Next slide, guys. All right, I'm just going to run through the questions. This is for you and I, you and me. If any of these questions reveal pride, this is not to make anybody feel bad or feel horrible, but what we have to do, everybody say repent. Replace the proud, self-honoring behavior with humble behavior. So, must you give your opinion about everything? Is the favorite sound of your world, you don't have to answer out loud, answer for yourself, world or the sound of your own voice going on and on? You don't have to answer out loud, you just answer for yourself. Do you always have to be different? Pride always has to be different and draw attention to itself. Self-honor. Are you always trying to impress people? We always say, never try to impress, just be impressive with humility. Praise God. Do you gossip or do you restore people who have fallen into transgression or failed? When we talk about love, love does not rejoice at iniquity. Love rejoices when right and truth prevail. Or you're only looking at the wrongs, the faults, the flaws, and the failures of others? Or are you trying to look for good and God in the place of others? Amen. Do you speak poorly of other people? Because pride is the number one self-promoter. Must you always be recognized? Pride, selfishness, self-honor considers their time more important than other people's time. They'll interrupt you. Praise the Lord. Because they say, my time, I'm demanding my time right now. You got to pay attention to me when? Right now. And the constant make people wait on you is an inflated view of your own importance and worth. Amen. That's why we say that the characteristics of one who's being the church is, you know, always attending. But that attending is breaking down into I show up. It's assumed that if I'm committed to Christ and his local church body, I'm going to show up to church. The courtesy is, if I've got a legitimate reason why I'm not going to show up, I communicate that up. But you don't have to tell people I'm showing up. You just keep showing up. And then you show up on time and you show up early. And then you show up early and you show up prepared. That means you show up ready to pray, ready to put together the service, ready to be a blessing and a benefit to the church. And then you keep showing up early and prepared and ready to pray. Don't walk in at the last minute and say, hey, everybody, look at me. I'm showing up late. That's why when Brother Get talked about time, that's the area that you have to be manage. You have to manage your time. Praise the Lord. I didn't get promoted or I didn't get favor on my job because I showed up late. I'm always showing up at the last minute. It's because I show up on time and I show up early and then I show up prepared. Somebody say, praise the Lord. But everybody that has always, oh, we always got to wait on you. Why? Because you hit the snooze button 3 or 4 times and you don't get up early and you're not prepared and you don't have your stuff ready, and so you're not ready to go on time. So you want to make everybody late and you want to be late all the time. Well, Lord, praise God. Everybody looking at me like I'm crazy. I fell out of a chair or something. Okay, do you crave attention or recognition? Always late to church appointments and events. Do you always need to be served? Humility seeks to serve. Pride seeks to be served. We ought to be thanking God that usually a service doesn't go by where somebody doesn't bring food and refreshments or snack. That's not on the church budget. It's people being a blessing. But pride just assumes, I deserve this. Be a blessing yourself. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Seek to serve yourself. Not just seek to be served. Praise God. How do you respond when someone else gets honored or promoted or you get demoted? The Bible says the big way we keep strife and division out of our heart and out of our house and our church is that when one member is honored, we all rejoice. We all rejoice at other people's blessings, other people's testimonies of God breaking them through, other people's blessings that they got a bonus or they got a promotion or they got a blessing or God's keeping power is working in their life. Praise God. So we rejoice. Why? So that pride and self-honor doesn't get, I don't know why they got it and I didn't get it. All right, next slide. Everybody good? Yes. Come on, lift your hands and thank God. All right, let's just run through some scriptures as we close. Praise God. Colossians 3:10, humility in the New Testament. Since God chose you to be holy people, he loves you, you must clothe yourself in what? Humility. With tenderheartedness, mercy, kindness, humility. Everybody say humility. Am I wearing it today? Turn to someone next to you and say, am I wearing it today? Gentleness and patience. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to the elders. We'll talk a little bit more about submission next week when we get back. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. Now he uses submit, submissive, and be clothed with what? Humility. Resist the proud, but God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. There's a connection between submission and humility. Biblical submission. Humility is what I'm to be clothed in. Clothed is to be ingirded oneself for labor. That means I'm clothed to work. And y'all knew this morning it was raining a little bit, so we brought all this stuff went in the rain. I brought my hat. Why? Because I don't come to just show up. I come to work. Amen. The scarf of apron as a slave. Fasten the belt of vest and disguise slave from freeman. Humble garment. Humility clothes are good clothes. Titus 3:2, remind them to be subject to rulers and to obey and be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, show all humility to all men. So everybody should see it and sense it if you're walking in true humility to everyone. I am to show humility to others consistently. So am I. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. And sister. Acts 2:19. I've done all the Lord's work. What? Humbly. And with many tears, I have endured the trials that came to me from the plots of the Jews. Doing the Lord's work and serving the Lord is to be done humbly or in humility. Now, James, we'll wrap it up with this. James 4:7-10. We'll break some of these. Here, you see these words submit in there. Submit, 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 submit. Humble, submit, humble, submit. We'll pick it up there next week. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will what? So the correlation is, if I don't submit to God, will the devil flee? I see that verse in that woman who got low. She had to submit to the Lord and humble herself. And then the devil could be resisted. We often say, if you don't submit to God, the devil won't flee. And if the devil doesn't flee, you don't win. And you don't win when it comes to sickness. You don't win when it comes to a situation negatively. Or you don't win when it comes to finances. You don't win because why? You're not submitted to God. God is synonymous with his word. You're not humble enough to receive his word. You think my way is better than God's word. Or God's will, so I stay haughty and proudful, trying to do it my way instead of submitting to his way and his will. Hallelujah. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. We'll break that down a little bit more next time. Humble yourself. Who? Who's in charge of the humility department? Say, I am. Say, I am in charge of my own humility department. You humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, because you can look humble in front of me. You might be able to fool these eyes, but you cannot fool his eyes. And he will what? Lift you up. Come on, y'all stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all get something out of that today? Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just lift your hands. There is a song that says, humble myself before you, Lord, but I don't know if you guys can find it, but just go ahead and play Ignite, or the one that I always use, Inhabit. Or Bless the Lord, Psalms 34. Either one of those two will be fine if you can't find that. Come on, just lift your hands and let's talk to the Lord. Now, why is God bringing this before us? He wants to take us to new